Previously on the Storyteller Naked Villainy, a flat-out denial by Kit Harrison as he gives evidence in the trial against him.
Did you kill her?
No.
The Crown compares the murder accused to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
On the one hand, you can be a kind and considerate man, but on other occasions, a violent and aggressive man.
And the contents of a private letter are used against him.
And the rage of which Brenda Page was so afraid came into effect, and you brutally murdered her, didn't you?
Nothing of the kind, no.
It's taken 45 years to bring a killer to court, and for the first time in UK history, you'll hear the full murder trial and witness justice being done. It was a brutal murder of a brilliant woman who was a rising star in genetic research.
It would now be almost like a script from Morse. The investigators swarming over the dreaming spires of university land.
There was kind of palpable feeling of evil in the air.
I was told it was just a mass of blood and hair.
2 decades on from confronting evil.
Did you kill your ex-wife, Brenda Page?
Evil is being confronted by the law.
Did you kill her?
No.
She knew it was coming.
He said he was going to kill her.
If he killed her, he would do it so that nobody would know.
Will his true nature be unmasked?
Are you familiar with the tale of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
And can Brenda's own words help secure her killer's fate?
A letter of a death foretold.
This is The Storyteller, Naked Villainy, written, produced and edited by me, Isla Traquair. His own words in his own handwriting about the rages of which his wife was so afraid. A comparison to a snow globe was not going to get Kit Harrison out of this so easily. The cat was out of the bag, with the letter being entered into evidence, so his defence counsel was going to go all in examining the entire exposing letter and much more in his re-examination.
You've said, I think you've accepted, this is in your handwriting.
It is.
And it's a letter from you to Brenda, dated the 11th of February 1978.
It is.
So we're talking of a period of about 5 months or so before the incident that we're dealing with today.
It's a period when she was looking after my chickens.
We'll come to what she was doing. But at the time, you were living at an address in Basingstoke.
I just finished my thesis and I needed time to relax.
So were you effectively on holiday at this time?
I was.
Now, can you, for me, please, just read out the first paragraph and we'll discuss things perhaps as we go along.
Dear Brenda, your letter upset me to begin with. On first reading, it seemed to be principally concerned with invidious comparisons. Thinking about it more carefully, I believe you are quite right. You have accurately diagnosed the real nature of the disease which has given me such suffering for so many years.
Just pause there, please.
Yes.
So far as that paragraph is concerned, should the ladies and gentlemen understand that you had received a letter from Brenda at that time?
I had.
When you talk about, and I appreciate I'm asking you about something that happened 45 years ago, so do you know what the invidious comparisons are to which you refer?
No, is the answer.
I mean, I don't want you to guess, but if you don't know,
no,
then please just tell me.
I don't know for certain, no.
But the final sentence of that paragraph refers to, how you phrase it, is the real nature of the disease which has given me such suffering for so many years. So it's talking about you.
Introversion.
And if we proceed with the letter, perhaps we get a little more of the context of the letter.
Yes.
Can you read the next paragraph for me, please?
I have longed to be able to unbutton and to be able to tell someone everything, talk with them freely. The lack of confidence and security, which not being able to do so engenders, multiplies and proliferates, and is what makes me the wretched spiritual pygmy that I am at present. Until I am able to unbottle, I shall never be a whole person. I know that. But that is what being shy, being ashamed, being afraid, and feeling insecure produce, a frosty introversion.
Pausing there. So far as that paragraph is concerned, who is it talking about?
Myself.
And effectively, what is it you are saying in that paragraph?
Apologising for being so shy and awkward.
And in 1978, is that the way you were?
I think so, yes.
Can you go on to the next paragraph for me, please?
In some ways, this is just the opposite of what you have said. When one is able to talk freely with someone else, one needs no further help. One has become a secure, whole person. Not being able to talk to people is part of a frightened and injured baby state that one desperately needs to get over.
Pausing there, again, who are you talking about?
Myself.
Can you go on to the next paragraph, please?
I write you this not because I think you are any longer interested in such matters, but rather to soothe the pain you must have felt in living with a person afflicted with crippling shyness and an inferiority complex.
And again, who's the person afflicted with crippling shyness and an inferiority complex?
Myself. This is an apology.
Could you read the next paragraph for me, please?
If only I could share my life with someone who not only understood this, but was prepared to be gentle and sympathetic with my frozen stupidity, the cure would have been complete.
Just pause there, please. So far as you were concerned, obviously this is quite some time after you've separated, but was Brenda a person who was understanding of your issues and gentle and sympathetic with your, as you describe it, frozen stupidity?
Not always.
Could you go on, please, again? So it should be, I should be, I think, is the next sentence.
Soothed and whole, I should be very even-tempered.
No, sorry, I think it's we've skipped a bit. The last word I think you read was complete. The cure would have been complete. So it's...
I should be a whole person, yes, for the first time since the age of about 11. It is bottling things up that causes my acute inner griefs. And it is that conflict between the need to tell and be healed in a lover's arms and the shame which makes me keep my failures to myself that causes those inner rages of which you are afraid.
I don't think it says inner.
That's what is meant.
Well, let's just read what's there for the moment.
I'm sorry, that causes those rages of which you are afraid.
Just stop there. The rages that you refer to, are they rages related to you or related to Brenda?
Related to me.
Up until now, has the whole letter been about your own insecurity?
It is.
So far as her being afraid of rages, were they rages relating to you or relating to her?
Related to me.
And how did they, as it were, manifest themselves?
I think just gloom. Gloom.
Gloom. Okay. Can you read on, please? So it's soothed and whole, I think, is the next phrase.
Soothed and whole, I should be very even-tempered. I believe my real nature is as sunny as yours, but mine has been soured by being locked up like a bull in a small backyard for far too many years.
Again, who are you talking about there?
I'm talking about myself and my school upbringing.
Read on, please.
As I have said already, I tell you this not because I expect anything from you, but rather to let you see that there is very much for which I not only do not blame you, and which I realize all too well how you must have often felt. Knowing this may help you recover from painful experiences and may help you to remember some good things instead of a lot of badness. With much love, from Kit.
A quick interruption so I can briefly tell you about the episode's sponsor. Do you know what that sound means? It's the sound of money you could be making on a sale on Shopify. I don't know about you, but a side hustle and starting a business is something I have considered. You could turn a hobby into cash, whether it's selling art, jewellery, beauty products, gifts for the home or garden. And if that is something you're considering, then let me tell you about Shopify. It's an all-in-one commerce platform to start, run and grow your business. Every minute, new sellers around the world are taking the leap and revolutionising their business and making their first sales on Shopify. My friends who use it for their online businesses swear by it and say it's made things so simple to customise their online shop, connect with new customers, maintain relationships and grow their business. It's a single dashboard. You can manage orders, shipping and payments from anywhere. And once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid so simple by instantly accepting all payment types. So whether you're selling serums or succulents, paintings or pottery, Shopify removes the stress and covers all your sales channels. You can even sell across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. It also removes the guesswork with built-in tools that help you create, execute and analyse your online marketing campaign. Here's the best bit. You don't need to learn how to code or design. It's done for you. And there's also award-winning help on hand with an extensive business course library. No matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and control to take your business to the next level. So if this sounds good to you, sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/storyteller. That's shopify.co.uk/storyteller and take your business to the next level today. One more time, that's shopify.co.uk/storyteller. Now let's return to the courtroom. Next, they refer to the letter written by Brenda, which, although not dated, they know must have been written in June 1978, as it was after his graduation and 4 months after the letter written by Kit.
This is a letter written by someone who, at the time, appears to have been telling various people of her great fear of you. Yes?
In order to get an interim interdict, you have to give a reason.
Whatever the reason may have been, the evidence is that at the time she has been telling people of her great fear of you.
She told a great many stories.
So, again, can we put that on the screen as well, please? And we can see that the address on this letter is 13 Allen Street, Aberdeen, which we know to have been Brenda Page's address at or about the time that we're talking about in June of 1978.
Yes, indeed.
And the reason that we can date the letter, so to speak, is because we will discover as we go through the letter, it's dealing with the time of your graduation.
Yes.
And it's post your graduation.
Yes.
So, the letter begins, "Dear Kit, you do nothing but hurt me, let me down, and make a fool of me." That's what it says, yes?
That is.
And perhaps, matter for the ladies and gentlemen, as we go through the letter, we might discover what it is that she means. "You're not getting the chance to do it anymore. I don't have to put up with that kind of mental torture or any ridicule. I don't wish to see you ever again. If you do bother me by phone or by calling or by any other kit-type invention, I will call on the interdict at once, and at once is underlined.
Yes.
Now, did you... You spoke earlier on in your evidence about receiving a... I think you described it as an intemperate letter. Is this the letter that you're talking about?
It is.
When the reference is made to calling on the interdict at once, did you take that as a threat of some kind?
Not really. If I'm allowed to, I can perhaps say that this is about asking to have a key back for Cathy Horton. That's well,
all. I'm going to come to all yes. of that just in a moment,
so
because
sorry.
We can perhaps glean that from the letter.
Yes.
But insofar as the interdict being talked about is concerned, at the end of that first paragraph, Dr. Page seems to be talking about the possibility of using the interdict in some way against you.
Yes.
But in the very next sentence, she says, you could have made it possible for me to attend your graduation.
That's right.
So the lady who has an interdict against you is complaining to you about the fact that she did not attend your graduation.
Correct.
And she goes on, and put on an after celebration which I had planned as a surprise.
How could I have known about it?
Well, if it was a surprise, I suspect you wouldn't have. But it seems what she is telling you is that she had planned a surprise after celebration for you from your graduation.
That's right.
Notwithstanding the terms of the interdict.
Yes.
You may notice here the slant he's trying to put on the letter, that Brenda was jealous and weaponising the interdict.
You could easily have dealt with the... Now, I don't know if it's complications or implications, if you had really wanted me there. I suspect it's complications.
Complications.
If you had really wanted me there. I encouraged all these things so as not to influence you in any way, so that you could make up your own mind. Is winning your legal battle more important than getting me back? Now, have I read that accurately?
Quite correctly.
I don't want to go into the detail of the legal battle, but am I right in saying that you had legal proceedings ongoing in respect of some matter related to the production of your thesis, your friend Cathy Horton was involved in?
Exactly that.
And when Dr. Page is talking about a legal battle, is that the legal battle you understood or to be referring to?
A legal battle against a bookbinder.
Take note of this, as I will return to this bookbinding legal issue in a later episode.
The question she asks at the end of that paragraph, again, despite the terms of the interdict, is winning your legal battle more important than getting me back? That's what she says.
Yes.
It goes on, to take my key away. What key is she talking about?
The key to the front door of Mile End Place.
And get, is it June it says next? Is that the next one?
June is June Lang, her chief technician.
To take my key away and get June in to look after the animals was the most disgusting flaunting of a sexual bonanza in front of my staff that you could have thought up. Do you know what she's referring to there?
It's absolutely astonishing. What it really means is I didn't want to cause a confrontation between Cathy Horton, my American girlfriend, and Brenda Page. I'd find it embarrassing for them both.
It goes on. They all knew I had planned going to your graduation and are laughing themselves silly now.
I can't imagine that that could possibly be true.
But that's what it says.
That's exactly what it says.
And if we go back, we don't need to turn the page back, but if you and I go back to the first sentence of this letter, "You do nothing but hurt me, let me down and make a fool of me," does this appear to be the detail of what she is talking about in terms of hurting her, letting her down and making a fool of her?
That's all it is, and I simply can't understand it because we had discussed it months before.
The next paragraph, I think the Learned Advocate Deputy read it out, I'm not particularly interested in it. It then goes on to say, "In spite of what you constantly accuse, I am no prostitute except with you, and that with an original slant of me paying you." Do you understand that sentence at all?
I don't understand any of this letter. It seems absolutely extraordinary.
"I had thought I had put up enough preventative measures against being used, but I was wrong again." Again, do you know what that referred to?
The preventative measures are the interim interdict. And again, the measures are spreading entirely untrue rumours about me and my past to all and sundry. I think that was very, very unkind and very unnecessary.
It goes on. "Well, get on with the lies and storytelling. I want no part of the dishonesty with which you surround your life." Who was, as far as you're concerned, who was telling lies and storytelling?
Brenda Page.
"Forgive my stupidity. I had thought that maybe things would change for us." Do you know what that meant?
She had hoped for a reconciliation. I'd hoped that we would bring back what had been a good relationship to an even keel.
And then it goes on, "Just get out of my life and stay out, Brenda. P.S. This letter needs no reply of any kind. Keep your abuse for your court case." That's what it says.
That's exactly it.
I'm pausing again to point out a few things. They've reframed the accusations of abuse at the beginning of the letter to be about Kit making a fool of Brenda by retrieving her key to his house via her colleague to avoid a run-in between his ex-wife and his new girlfriend. The alleged long history of physical abuse and coercive control reduced into a silly misunderstanding. The undertones hint of a crazy and jealous woman making up stories. It was hard not to get angry at times listening to this. Mr. McConaughey refers to Brenda's murder as the incident. Words used to cleanse and diminish.
Did you reply to that letter?
I did. I wrote a very restrained and temperate answer, saying I was so sorry that she had taken things so badly. I'd hoped that having discussed it 8 weeks previously, that this wouldn't cause her any upset at all.
And was it after this letter that you met her at Forrester Hill?
Exactly that, which gave me the impression then that she had got over this trouble.
Notwithstanding the fact that she had an interim interdict and ultimately a final interdict against you, did she go to Vienna with you?
Yes, she did. She asked me to book a hotel for her, and all four of us went together from London, I think London Heathrow.
Did she take any steps to enforce the terms of the interdict as a result of you going to Vienna with her?
No.
Did she at any stage take any steps to enforce the terms of the interdict against you?
No.
Dr. Harrison, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Harrison. That concludes your evidence. If you would resume your seat in the dock. Thank you. Now, Mr. McConaughey.
Yes, Lord, that concludes the case so far as the defence is concerned.
Very well. Ladies and gentlemen, we've now reached another milestone in the case, and that's now you've heard all of the evidence you're going to hear. That concludes the case for Dr. Harrison. The next stage in proceedings would, in normal circumstances, be for you to be addressed first by the Advocate Depute and then by Mr. McConachie.
The defence case finally closed, all evidence had been heard, and now all that was to be done was the closing speeches, during which the evidence would be woven for and against a guilty verdict. In the next episode of the storyteller Naked Villainy, a motive for murder as the Crown starts the closing speeches.
He could not bear the thought of any other man being with her.
Brenda's injuries were proof she was intentionally murdered.
Whoever did that did not care whether Brenda Page lived or died.
And he urges the jury to believe the Crown witnesses.
And I suggest the witnesses in this case have all been doing their absolute best to tell the truth, with one exception.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate and review, as it makes a huge difference to guiding people to hearing this important story. This is an entirely independent production and your support is greatly appreciated. And if you want to hear exclusive interviews, longer episodes and insights, please head to the Patreon. The link is in the show notes. Thank you again for listening. This is a piece of history and you are for the first time in this format witnessing justice being done.